Let's discuss the brass band aspect and listen to some of the brass band music now to kind of put this in context.
Well, I think many people have heard the tradition of the bands in New Orleans which accompany the funeral parade. And there's a tradition where a very sad and mournful dirge-like bluesy piece is played with the band marching very gravely as the hearse proceeds through the streets. And then afterwards, when the body is buried and the spirit is released, everyone marches back to a much more up-tempo and gay and happy. I think it's just from a psychological point of view, it's a wonderful thing. It really gets the emotions out, but it covers all the range of emotions. And everyone in New Orleans loves to have a party, so it's a nice suspenseful way to wait and pay due respects and then have the party. This song, Sing On, that we're going to hear, I remember when I went to Percy's funeral in New Orleans in 1995 in the summer, one of the speakers at his funeral, a jazz historian named Richard Allen, he finished his eulogy by quoting from this song, Sing On, and part of the words to the hymn are, Sing on, sweet soul, let all sing on, to the music of the spheres, sing on. So here's Percy Humphrey playing with the Eureka Band, which he's the leader of, in the streets, and listen for the carefully arranged parts, which you might not hear in the bands today. And if it seems to be a bit repetitious, you have to remember that this is a band walking through the street, and so the audience is constantly changing. This is not a recording made for commercial use. It's a recording made for, in a kind of folk sense, in a kind of documentary sense. This has that deep mourning quality of the first part of the funeral parade. The sad part of the funeral parade first, and then the body is buried. And incidentally, at Percy's own funeral, they had a horse-drawn hearse, which is the first one like that people had seen in many years. It was an honor to this legendary guy who went right back to the early roots before they had automobiles, is when he was born. Then, coming back from the grave, the temple picks up, and the next song we're going to hear is called Maryland, My Maryland. And you have a great example here of the brass band on the street starting to kick up the rhythm. This is how jazz was born, in one sense. The street bands, which were very numerous all through the 19th century in New Orleans, in fact, in all through the United States, we had brass bands in every little park playing at that time. In New Orleans, they got onto a little trick where they could get the people walking along with them to kind of move their hips and jump around by kicking up that rhythm. And that was one of the early forms of jazz. So here we have Maryland, My Maryland, which is a proper marching tune, but transformed into a jazz tune on the street. Later, it became a standard in jazz repertoire. And it's the same tune, incidentally, as the German song Tannenbaum, which means Christmas tree. But listen to Percy's wonderful, wonderful solos in this song. He's the leader of that big Eureka band. ¶¶
Well, let's explore a little bit more the sound of the brass bands in New Orleans, the tradition that the Humphrey family came out of and mm-hmm. Percy came out of. And I think people are quite intrigued about the original roots of jazz, and they're often more diverse than people realize.
That's right. Well, you have the brass band sources in that city, and you had the availability of instruments after the Civil War. The Civil War armies loved brass bands, and when they lost the war, suddenly all those instruments were dumped on the market, and they were available in pawn shops where poor blacks and others could afford to buy them. And that added to the ferment that was going to create jazz. New Orleans is a very localized place, a very neighborhood place, a very place where lots of societies and clubs, and they all have musical events. Everybody in the traditional black community would belong to a burial society. Every month they put in 50 cents or whatever it was, so they would have a good send-off in their time. This is very important. And so a lot of the culture was constellated around these traditional rituals. Same as they have Mardi Gras, they have the funerals. Mm-hmm. And so when we hear the next song, which is called West Lawn Dirge, George Lewis, a famous clarinet player, is actually playing a high clarinet called an E-flat clarinet. And these are pretty rough recordings made in the street in the 50s with portable equipment. But you can hear Lewis playing a kind of crying, weeping style. And you can hear that particularly the trombones are playing a very unique sound that I've never heard any other time. Which is a kind of a crying feeling. It's this deep mourning. And people who heard these bands in person had to really restrain their tears because it's a feeling that would spread out there.
Another of the roots of jazz that's tied to the society structure in New Orleans came out of the dance halls.
Right.
And there were organized cotillions, and bands were hired often to play for mm-hmm. these fraternal might not be the word, but cultural community organizations.
That's right. All the traditional musicians in New Orleans carried cards that said, "Music for all occasions." And although the city was split up in many ways socially, the music threaded it together in marvelous ways. When there was music going on in a parade, everybody could join in. All their local affiliations were pooled in this event, same as in the Mardi Gras. The famous King Oliver Band would play in the darkest brothel of Storyville one night, and then the next night they'd play at the Tulane Gym. And they'd play actually a little differently, as you can imagine. So the musicians were people without class.
They were crossing class and ethnic lines.
Yeah, yeah. And this speaks very well for the music, which became a metaphor for jazz in the sense that jazz developed as a music for all occasions. So when it spread out to the rest of the world, it was in its DNA to adapt to whatever occasions there might be. And that's one of the secrets of its great success throughout every culture in the world. Jazz is not a body of musical literature, it's a way of playing. Here we have bands playing for dances in New Orleans of all sorts. The next number we're going to hear is Percy Humphrey, the leader of the band and the trumpet player, and they're playing for what would be described as a dance. They're playing in San Jacinto Hall in New Orleans, a famous old dance hall, in 1966. This sound of the band, which is different, obviously very different from the marching bands we heard, and very different from the more concert kind of bands, gives you a feeling of a dance. It's got a little lilt to it. And these guys were working countless hundreds and hundreds of nights in jitney joints, dime a dance places, dances for clubs, all sorts of things, on boats. And it's nice to hear them in this setting. This is Percy Humphrey and his Crescent City Joymakers, on a record that recreates really the sound of the dance hall, and this is in San Jacinto Hall in New Orleans. Percy Humphrey, trumpet, Louis Nelson, trombone, Albert Burbank, clarinet, Chester Zardes on the bass. Chester Zardes was a magnificent bass player, and he really makes this band swing. And Barry Martin on the drums. Lars Ettergren on piano. Interesting on the pianist, Ettergren, and the drums, Martin, they were both Europeans. By 1966, when this was made, there were quite a few Europeans particularly and northern white guys coming to New Orleans to pick up on this music. And inevitably, they began playing with the bands, and many of them are still there. Both those guys are. They've now been there 30 years. I guess they're part of the tradition as well as anybody else. Listen for Percy's so-called dirty tone when you growl and what we call vocalization of the tone. Thank you. Well, we're going to play this Smoky Mary record from 74. Incidentally, Sing Miller is the pianist on this record, and that illustrates something that's often not pointed out about New Orleans jazz of the last couple generations. You know, rhythm and blues came out of New Orleans, too. Fats Domino and so forth. It's another thing that came out of New Orleans and was co-opted and made much more commercial worldwide. This record, Sing Miller, the pianist, comes from that particular background as much as from the jazz background. It's a kind of churchy, bluesy, but rollicking rhythm. If you listen to his piano playing, you'll hear a bit of Fats Domino in there and a little Fats type of phrasing in his singing. And that melds perfectly into the New Orleans tradition. It's the way jazz develops and always did develop. It's not a standing target. It's a dynamic, moving vehicle. Anyhow, we have Sing on the piano. We're going to hear My Blue Heaven, which is one of Willie Humphrey's favorites, and also his wife, Aura, who is a great friend also, his widow. The song My Blue Heaven was a kind of a special thing between Willie Humphrey and his wife, Aura, of course, now his widow. In the 1930s, they had a little house that they could just about afford to buy, and they called it My Blue Heaven. And those are the days when Willie was scraping things together like so many and working in a WPA band and teaching music lessons for 50 cents a lesson and hauling coal part of the day and playing music at night and changing his clothes in between every job and coming home and going out and coming back, and going off to the next job. But he would put a dollar bill on the mantle every night proudly and say, okay, Aura, that's your food for tomorrow. And that was My Blue Heaven for them.
And in those days, a dollar could feed two people for a day.
Yep. Especially if you had a lot of cousins and relatives that were always had some Creole pot bubbling somewhere. Aura was one of the greatest gumbo cooks I ever had the pleasure to dine at their house. My Blue Heaven with Willie.
With the low cold and even at night, I hurried to my blue heaven. I turned to the right, I seen a little white light that leads you to my blue heaven. You see a smiling face, the fireplace, a cozy room, a little nest that nestles where roses bloom. Molly and me and my baby makes three. We happy at my blue heaven. Thank you.
A big thank you to my guest, Bill Carter. He'll be with us again next time. It's great to learn from both his rich firsthand experience and thoughtful insights about jazz and the context of its unique origins in New Orleans. Bill Carter's also chairman of the San Francisco Traditional Jazz Foundation. His book, Preservation Hall, Music from the Heart, was published in 1991 by W.W. Norton & Company. It's available through Amazon.com or the website of the San Francisco Traditional Jazz Foundation at sftradjazz.org. Jazz Rhythm is produced by Rhythm Productions, offering transfer of vintage tapes and discs to CD. The website is jazzhot.bigstep.com. Going out with a bit of Bourbon Street Parade, I'm Dave Radlauer. That's Jazz Rhythm. Thanks for listening.